How are you? That's good. The Bible reading is from Habakkuk 1, 1 to 6. It says, the prophecy that Habakkuk the prophet received. Habakkuk's complaint. How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abound. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and injustice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. The Lord's answer. Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something amazing. Something in your days that you would not believe. Even if you were told, I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwellings on their own. That's the word of God.
As you've realised, we're going to have a look at Habakkuk this morning. I often have people come to me and unload their grievances. They'll tell me all of their problems, their dissatisfactions. They complain about the state of the nation or the government or the medical system or the price of medication. They'll complain about their children or maybe even their parents. That's an interesting one. Or their neighbours, or their work colleagues, they'll complain about the temperature of the air conditioning, or the song choice in church services. We tend to be very good at complaining and grumbling. And as I hear many of these complaints, I try to remember that most of these troubles are first world problems. Mostly they're of little consequence. You know, perspective is everything. Perspective is everything. And if we were living in a third world country in the ravages of war, being displaced and struggling to find food and clean water and maybe even a toilet, we might have something to complain about. Let me tell you, there's a difference between voicing complaints and genuine laments. Crying out in lament is a vast difference. To lament is to be affected emotionally at a much deeper level. It's to express that heartfelt longing for something better, often from a position of anger or confusion. And the best place to bring your laments is obviously to your Heavenly Father. And we see this in the book of Psalms. Over one third of the Psalms are laments. Don't know whether you've realised that. There are 15 Psalms of trust, 20 Psalms of praise, just 20 Psalms of praise, 13 of wisdom, but there are 64 Psalms of individual and corporate lament. King David brought his laments to the Lord, as does Habakkuk. And you hear that in these opening words from Habakkuk. This is the message from the prophet Habakkuk received in a vision. How long, O Lord, must I call for help? But you do not listen. Violence is everywhere. I cry, but you do not come to save. Must I forever see these evil deeds? Why must I watch all this misery? Wherever I look, I see destruction and violence. I'm surrounded by people who love to argue and fight. The law has become paralysed and there's no justice in the courts. The wicked far outnumber the righteous, so that justice has become perverted. He's lamenting the state of his society. He's not just complaining about the temperature of his coffee. He has a genuine and deep concern for people who are being abused and where injustice is rampant. And Habakkuk, he must be on heightened alert to this. Put yourself, if you can, back into his shoes. There is no TV, no newspapers, no internet, no social media. And yet he is very aware of what's going on around him. He says, violence is everywhere. Wherever I look, I see destruction and violence. I'm surrounded by people who love to argue and fight. The laws become paralysed and there is no justice in the courts. Perhaps he personally knew of people who had been through these difficult times of suffering, of violence, of injustice. Maybe he'd been there. And so Habakkuk, he goes to the only one who can do something about it. Again, many times we bring our complaints and dissatisfaction to others who at best can encourage us but can do little to alleviate the problem. God is the one to whom we should go, and perhaps his answer will be to change the situation. More likely, he will change our perspective. Or he'll enlighten us to another viewpoint rather than change the situation or our circumstances as he does with Habakkuk. From verse 5, the Lord replied, "Look around at the nations, look and be amazed. For I'm doing something in your own day, something you wouldn't believe if someone told you about it. I'm raising up the Babylonians, a cruel and violent people. They will march across the world and conquer other lands." The prophet Habakkuk, he lives in a time and in a world with many similarities to our own. This was a time filled with international, political, religious and moral chaos and rampant unchecked evil. Internationally, the world of the ancient Near East had been in turmoil, with one empire collapsing and another rising to take its place. All of this is generating great fear and uncertainty, especially among the smaller nations, such as Judah, where he lived. And Judah had been caught up in the rivalry of the great powers of Egypt and Mesopotamia. Assyria was now in power. Babylon was about to overrule Assyria. Nationally, King Josiah had made valiant efforts to bring about reformation in Judah. The country was still suffering the long-term legacy of the evil king, his reign, Manasseh, who had reigned for 53 years. And during that long reign, the people had slid into increasing idolatry and evil practices of all kinds. Even though Josiah had achieved some major reforms and purged the nation of the outward trappings of other gods, he was soon followed by his son Jehoiakim, who tragically reversed much of what Josiah had achieved. And Jehoiakim was arrogant, showy, and oppressive. Habakkuk is rightly concerned for his country, rightly concerned for Judah. And at the same time, within his own land, he witnessed the disintegration of family and society. Socially, there was increasing poverty, social inequality, sexual dysfunction, arrogant exploitation by the elite. There was dispossession, all of the suffering that went along with the loss of land and the loss of security. The country of Judah was descending into a spiral of increasing degradation and wickedness. And this was another trigger for Habakkuk to bring his laments before God. This was not a happy world he was facing. We too are facing confusing times. On the world scene and locally, causing unsettled hearts, troubled minds. I think for many of our young people, there's confusion, there's discouragement, We have a world monetary system that appears to be so very fragile. We have world superpowers who appear to be keen to show their strength. World leaders who appear to be more concerned about their own position of authority than the welfare of their own people. Military strength around the world where nuclear destruction is but the push of a button away. Locally, we too see our fair share of violence and injustice, abuse, neglect, exploitation. As the evil one sows his seeds of discouragement and confusion, it's more than appropriate that we take our laments to our Heavenly Father. But notice that the Lord does not answer Habakkuk's complaint how he thinks God will. God says that he is raising up the Babylonians, a cruel and violent people, and that they will march across the world and conquer other lands. When there's already too much violence and injustice in this world, God is raising up Babylon? That can't please Habakkuk too much. And as you read verses 7 to 11 of chapter 1, you'll see a ruthless and heartless Babylon, a terrible people. It seems to me that God often works in mysterious ways. He sees the whole picture and from a unique and all-embracing perspective. And you consider Jesus, the hope of the world, born in the form of a vulnerable baby, the way of salvation forged through significant suffering, what looked like utter death and defeat on the cross was really the way to ultimate life and salvation. What looked like the end was really the beginning of all things being made new. There is always more happening than we can see. And here, God is about to do the unthinkable. Raise up Babylon and give them freedom to destroy other nations. Even if God were to arrange for another prophet to tell Habakkuk this news, he wouldn't believe it. Surely not. And so Habakkuk, he has a choice: to lament all the more or trust God all the more. You see, for Habakkuk, there's conflict in his mind between what he knows about God and what he sees God doing or not doing. There's conflict. And I wonder, is that your experience too? It seems there is contradiction between what Habakkuk knows and believes about God from the stories, the scriptures, the worship songs of his people on the one hand, and the present reality that surrounds him on the other. The two aren't lining up. There's a clash between who he believes God to be and what he determines is God's inactivity. You've just gone to sleep at the wheel, God. He's been silent and inactive for so long. How long have you been praying for someone? You've been praying and praying and praying for years, for decades, and there seems like nothing's happening. How long must you endure your illness or disease? Again, for some of you, it's been decades. Does God seem distant or uncaring, as though he's gone to sleep? Like us, Habakkuk has become annoyed by God's inactivity and he's frustrated with this evil world that he sees around him. He reels off six different words for the social evils that he sees. injustice, wrongdoing, destruction, violence, strife, conflict. And he says, "How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or I cry out, violence, but you do not save." It's like the shout of somebody witnessing a brutal attack on some innocent victim nearby and shouting out, hoping that others or the police will come to intervene, to rescue. Not only should we seek God in our confusion, but we must also trust God. And trust God to do the right thing. Although God has told Habakkuk what he is about to do, Habakkuk has a second complaint, you'll read it there in chapter 2, expressing how he cannot see that what God is about to do is good or is the right thing. How can this be good? How can this be the right thing? And God's response to him is that he is in control of the nations, and that he is about to use Babylon to bring the Hebrew people and others to their knees before him in repentance, and that Babylon will also pay for her wickedness. And so Habakkuk must trust in the God that he knows. All those old stories of Israel's history remind Habakkuk that God is a faithful God. He is a compassionate and merciful God. He is good. And he does hear our cries for help. He knows that Habakkuk knows that there is never a time when God is not caring or that God is at work. And so he must trust in God and his plan and his timing. Do you recall all of God's faithfulness to you in your past? Take time to do that. Remember God's faithfulness to you. And when it comes to timing, we often get very impatient with God, as does Habakkuk. How long, O Lord, must I call for help? And when God conveys his plan, we often get more impatient. If God is going to raise up Babylon, then this is going to take some time. So the answer will require more patience. Furthermore, it'll take some time for Babylon to receive justice. And so in the meantime, the violence and the injustice that Habakkuk sees will only increase, will only get worse. It's going to get worse before it gets better. For Habakkuk, for the Hebrew people. And so Habakkuk must trust in the God that he knows. God therefore reassure him that he can trust him. In chapter 2, verse 3, God says, "For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end, and it will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay." In other words, God's sovereign purpose in history will be accomplished. You can be sure of that, Habakkuk. It's because God doesn't lie, and his word will accomplish what he sends it to do. And so for Habakkuk, he now understands that things are going to get worse before they get better. For God has a plan that includes the nations. His plan is bigger than Habakkuk. His plan is bigger than Israel itself. And God's plans are bigger than you and your perspective. Bigger than Toowoomba North. Bigger than Australia. His plans encompass the world and all of the people around the world. So with a changed perspective, much like that of Job, Habakkuk is strengthened in his faith. He is determined to be among the righteous who will put their trust in God and go on living by faith no matter what, even if he doesn't fully understand. His circumstances may not have changed, but he is strengthened in his faith. And as you read through to the end of the book, it's only three little chapters, I encourage you to read it. The closing words of Habakkuk, he makes three amazing, strong resolutions. I will wait, I will rejoice, and I will run. He plans to get on with the mission with energy and determination in the strength of the Sovereign Lord. And he says these very familiar words to us all. Habakkuk 3, verses 17 to 19. Though the fig tree does not blossom and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. He will rejoice in the sovereignty of his God, and he will be as sure-footed as the deer. He will find his joy not in his circumstances, not in so much of what God will do, but who God is. Who is God to you? Who is God really to you? He'll find his joy in who God is. So that hard thing that you don't understand, a world in chaos and teetering on destruction, of violence and injustice or financial collapse. Perhaps you're really disappointed with God. The pain that you fear that might break you. The storm that threatens to drown you may actually be your path to freedom. When we shift the way that we see our suffering and trust the heart of God our Father, when we know God, then we can let go of fear and confusion. We can be filled with peace because we know that he is working all things together for good, even if we don't understand. We are secure in the hands of our Sovereign God. May we take the long view, trusting God and living in the example of Habakkuk with obedience in faith. Knowing the Sovereign Lord himself is the source of our hope, joy and strength. Our Sovereign Lord is our source of hope and joy and strength. Not what he'll do for us, but who he is. Let's pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we want to thank you because you are working all things together for good. And you are concerned about all people in all places all around the world. And Father, we want to thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus, for the forgiveness of sin, for salvation that we have through him. We want to thank you, Father, that even though our circumstances may be difficult, we can know joy and peace and hope in spite of those circumstances because of who you are. Would you help us, Father, to get to know you even more, deeper, and to appreciate you, spend time in your word, getting to know you and your character better, so that our joy is wrapped up in who you are, because you are a merciful and faithful, loving, good God. And so we ask for your Holy Spirit to take us deeper into a relationship with you. So we thank you as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.